It's Sunday. This is your weekly reminder of what day of the week it is. You have survived another week. Excited to look forward to another block of time. We used to refer to them as weeks, but ahead of us is another block of time where we will survive and keep pressing forward. I'm glad you're tuning in to day 3,452 of Safer at Home. I, like you, am in the same boat, journeying together, trying to figure out what God is doing in the midst of all these things. If you're asking how home is for me, it was just last night. My wife and I, enjoying some pillow talk right before I drifted off to sleep, when she lovingly said to me, "If you would just love me and do everything right, we would be fine." So yeah, we're great. No problems there. Quarantine's treating us great. Where do you turn in hope like this? I want to encourage you that while we feel stuck, Bridgepoint, our mission moves forward. Like Michael was saying, I'm just so excited about the things God's doing in and through us. Maybe you're looking for your next step. I want you to know Rooted is an option. Week one of Rooted happens not only today, but also on Thursday. It's a great opportunity to tune into that, be a part of that, jump into something so that you can be moving forward with us. But where do you turn for hope in the day-to-day when you're sitting in the exact same spot you celebrated Easter? We're just a month later from it. How does that matter? How am I still here? How do I stay hopeful? What do I hang on to? How do I have genuine, like, mind-blown moments when I feel like my mind is blown at how unhappy I am in this season? What do you do then? What do you do now that as we begin to transition towards looking ahead at phases and reopenings and moving forward, what's the future going to look like? Is it gonna happen? Are we going to move forward and find a new normal? Or is this just another phase that's going to lead to more who knows what? So many questions. And what do you do right in the middle of it? For those of us that are Jesus followers, what do we do? How do we stay hopeful? For those of you that are asking lots of questions about where is God and what is he doing and how do I know him in a time like this, that brings us all to a moment that how do you have a season where your mind can be blown when you feel like this is anything but something that's encouraging, hopeful, and meaningful? That you feel like the rhythms and routines that you're in right now are entirely just about surviving the moment, let alone being a part of a mission and a movement of God. How do those two things go together? This series was built off of, we launched it the week after Easter, Luke 24, where Peter, Jesus had went to the cross, he suffered, he died. They laid his lifeless body in the tomb. People came and said, "He's alive. He's alive." Peter was one of those that was like, "I don't know that I can get on board with that." Peter rose, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths, the grave clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. His mind was blown at what the possibilities of life meant because Jesus was alive. The tomb was empty. That's why in this series, we've been reminding you that the resurrection of Jesus became the event that changed history. It's not a story. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. But here's today what I want you to grab a hold of, because today I want you to know why this is good news. And here's what I mean by that. I want you to grab a hold of this big idea. The resurrection of Jesus is the event that reminds us, ready, of the imperfect person's invitation into the story of a perfect Savior. That's a big shift from what we've been talking about, because I want you at home or wherever you're tuning in from, on your phone, through your computer, with your family or by yourself, to get your mind around the potential that exists, because this movement of God, these mind-blown moments, are not for the people that have it all together. This faith thing is not for the folks that have all the answers. This isn't for the people that have got their lives cleaned up. This isn't for the people that try not to cuss. This isn't for the people that always parent their children well. This isn't for the people that understand all that there is to know about God as if that was even possible. The empty tomb, the reason Peter's mind was blown and he went away marveling at this, I wonder if one of the things in Peter's mind was the reality, the reminder, man, this is for me. These are for the imperfect people that don't have it all together. This is a hopeful story for me of a good God who came in a human form and became the perfect Savior, the perfection that I could never achieve for my own life. Today, I want to give you a heads up. Today, I'm going to have an expectation for you, and this is a spoiler alert. Today, I'm going to have an expectation that you figure out what the empty tomb needs to mean for your life. Now, stay with me, because all I'm asking you today is to reach a place alongside me that we can no longer hide behind our excuses. We can no longer hide behind the fact that I love the idea of Jesus, but there's no way I'll ever be good enough to be a part of a church like that. There's no way I'll ever be loved by God because you don't know what my story has been so far. I'm not sure I can ever, we got to dump the excuses. I'm not sure I'd know how, where to be a part of this movement. I'm not sure I know what to do or what to say or who to say it to. I'm not sure that while I like this idea and I love the fact that for God so loved the world, I'm not sure that could ever be true for me. And especially when we're in a season where you think about just this past week, I hope there were some highs in it for you. But if we're really honest, if we're really examining our week, or maybe this is just the vulnerable moment for me, this week also had some lows. Because this is a hard season to not be in normal. It's a hard season to not have what was feeling like my freedom. What do you do with that? How is this good news? And why do I need to be ready for the fact that these are moments where the perfect Savior is so needed in my life? And I think for yours as well. Remember, Peter was the one, he walked away from the tomb and his mind was blown. And I wonder if one of the things Peter was thinking about as he walked away marveling at what had just happened, was a conversation that he and Jesus had. Matthew recorded it in his book, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus was having a conversation with Peter. Now, I wonder if that's one of the things he was marveling at when he looked in that empty tomb. Here was the conversation. Jesus was talking. Jesus said, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I wonder if Peter's looking at the empty tomb, walking away marveling, and he thinks back to this conversation. Peter's name, just as a side note, his name literally would be translated rock. And so you get the sense that Jesus is saying, not only does his name mean rock, but Jesus is saying, "I tell you, you are rock. You are Peter. You are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus is having a little bit of a play on words and the power of what he wanted to do in Jesus' life. But this is strong language. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's a bold thought. And I wonder if in Peter's mind, there was just a little bit of it that, man, the gates of hell can't stop this. In other words, that if I'll get in on this movement, if I'll allow my mind to be blown, that the fact that the Son of God was murdered but is still alive, then suddenly, as followers of Jesus, we can spread love and it actually means something, that the gates of hell can't stop it. That as followers of Jesus, we can shine light into dark, hurtful places that exist in our lives and in the lives of those around us. It means that we can flavor our culture with kindness, which in days like and days and weeks like we've seen seems so absent. It means that we can always anchor our lives to hope that God has more for us and better for us and purpose for us in the midst of uncertain times. It means that we can operate with peace. Not because the world is peaceful, but even in the chaos, we anchor to the fact that the tomb is empty and the gates of hell can't stop that. It means that we get to live with joy, not because life is going well, but because of what we know about life and who holds life in his hands, we take heart and have joy in the midst of that. And I just thought, man, The language that Peter used, that Jesus used with Peter to say, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell, the powers of darkness, all that is broken and hurting, lonely and isolated in this world will never overpower the movement Jesus was building. But as I thought about it, I thought, man, I love the power of Jesus's movement. But he was talking to Peter? To Peter? Like, knowing the story of Peter and the strategy that I'm sure Jesus was trying to put behind his mission and his movement, why Peter? And I wonder if it's the journey of Peter and the power of this moment that can give hope to people, at least, maybe not you, but at least me. That now more than ever, I'm seeing my imperfections and where I fall short and how short my patience can be. How emotional I react, how frequently I doubt and have questions, how often I operate in fear, and how frequently there are moments where I just feel like I don't measure up. Jesus, Peter's the one you're saying this to? But maybe there's hope for us. And here's what I mean by that. Let me give you a picture of who Peter was. This is Peter, the rock, the one Jesus was building off of. Here's a quick story. We talked about this one just a couple weeks ago. Peter sank. Jesus is saying, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. But Peter's the one that sank. Here's what I mean by that. Matthew chapter 14. We talked about this just a couple weeks ago. The disciples were in the midst of a storm. The wind, the waves were crazy. Jesus, performing a miracle, walks on water out towards them. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Everything about that moment is all cheers and like, wow, God is doing a miracle through Peter. But that's not how that story finishes. The very next verse says, but when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus, in classic Jesus fashion, immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter, you're walking on water. Why did you doubt? Why did it get to that point? But if I'm honest, for me, how many of us this week felt like we were sinking? How many of us this week, instead of fixing our eyes on Jesus and trying to be committed to all he wanted to do in and through us, all we could see, all we could find on social media, all the news that anybody's talking about, and all the stress that we're feeling right now just caused us to look at the size and the power of the storm we're walking in, taking our eyes instead off the size of the God that we're following, and we began to sink in the middle of it, that we gave into those feelings of hopelessness, that so many times we wish we could just give up, that we felt so trapped and so stuck and so isolated, that we reached that place where we allowed our doubts or questions to create distance between us and God instead of driving us closer to him. Maybe I wonder if one of the aspects about Peter that Jesus was talking to him was because Peter sank. And if we're honest, like, how many of us had a moment, at least a moment, if not a week, of feeling like we were sinking in the middle of this storm? But not only did Peter sink, he scolded Jesus. Peter tried to put Jesus in his place. Here's what I mean. Matthew chapter 16, recorded by some eyewitnesses. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. He told everybody this was the plan. And I love Peter. Check out Peter, very next verse. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Peter's rebuking Jesus, or so he thinks. It's this idea that Peter's saying, hey, Jesus, let's have a quick conversation. I'm all in on this Jesus movement. I love following you. You do some wild miracles. They're so cool. But listen, if you keep saying that as the leader of this movement, you're going to end up dying, that you're going to suffer, that you're going to have to, you know, be raised from the dead, like that doesn't happen. And it's going to kill our momentum. If you keep talking about the fact that we're going to have to eat your flesh and drink your blood as symbols of all that you are doing, this is not good leadership. Like that's not the good to great principles. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, get behind me. You don't understand. You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. It's a powerful rebuke from Jesus. And I wonder if part of why Jesus was saying, you're not focused on the right things, Peter. You're not fixing your mind on what I'm doing. You're fixing your mind on what you can control. Why do we try to operate and grab a hold of something to control it? Fear. We get afraid, right? How many of you this past week, how many of you lately in this season, how many of you before the Bridgepoint broadcast came on this morning had moments where you were afraid about what was going on? We can't control this thing. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know what the impact's going to be. We don't know what the future's going to hold, as if we ever really did. But in seasons like this, how many of you have had fear, like strong fear about your health? Some of you justifiably so, but are you operating out of fear? How many of you have had fear about your finances? You're facing a fear related to your job, or your worst fears came true that you lost it, that you're furloughed, that unemployment is not certain. And so that creates fear about your future. How many of us in this season have had fear about relationships because they're lacking or they're digital only? We have fear about our kids. We have fear about what's next. We have fear about second waves of this thing. We have fears about, are we opening up too soon? Have we opened up too late? Is the economy going to move forward? Is it going to slow down? Is it going to crash? How many of us are overwhelmed and paralyzed with fear right now? You know how we react when that happens? We try to control things all the more. But control that's based in fear never ends well for anybody. And Jesus is saying, Peter, you're the rock. I'm going to build my church and hell won't be able to stop it. And Peter he sank and he scolded Jesus. But if I'm honest, that probably would have been me too. Peter's story goes on. He actually sliced an ear. In fact, when it was time for Jesus to go to the cross and the guard comes to meet Jesus in the tomb to take him, look at the scene that happens. Jesus and his small band of brothers, of which Peter was one, was met by this guard and these trained soldiers. And here's the story. Then Peter, seeing all this happening, having a sword, Peter was a fisherman by trade, mind you. These are trained soldiers and guards. Peter pulls out his sword and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. One of our pastors pointed out this week that when Peter is sensing this fear, when he was getting scared in this moment, and when he thought, I'm going down swinging, he probably pulled out that sword, not trying to just lop an ear off because he's not that good. Peter probably pulled out that sword and was going for somebody's head. He's just not a trained soldier and he got an ear. He reacted. The fear overtook him. The emotion of the moment, the feelings of my friend Jesus is being betrayed. These guards are all around. They're going to take him away. What's this going to mean? He pulls out a sword and just starts swinging. But I wonder how many of us this week, these past couple weeks or this month, had some moments where we reacted out of emotion, not having thought through things. Not trying to grab a hold of faith, not remembering the truth of what Jesus said, because Jesus had told his followers that this was going to happen. But instead, because we felt like we were out of control or at least out of answers, we just started swinging for people's heads. I wonder how many of you went for somebody else's head this week with your words. I wonder how many of us went for somebody's head this week with our actions. I wonder how many of us went for somebody's head this week behind the comforts of a keyboard. I wonder how many of us went for somebody's head this week because we physically were frustrated with them, or we went for somebody's head at least behind their back. Because emotional reactions right now are splitting our country, our culture, our county, and our families in half. And I get it. These are unprecedented times. But when we allow all that emotion to boil up on the inside, when we do nothing with it, and when we're unsure of what to do next, how often do we come out swinging and just trying to control or reacting out of fear? And emotional reactions rarely go well for anybody, let alone for Peter. How many of us right now are so afraid, or looking back on our past week just saying, man, I can't tell you how many times in my house that happened. I can't tell you how many times to my friends, I don't even know where it came from or why I did that. With my coworkers, my kids, I made some posts that I thought were super snarky. I don't even know why I did that, and I wish everything I could change it. And I wonder if Jesus, are you aware that when you say Peter's the rock and you're going to build your church and hell won't be able to stop it, did you know that Peter was going to come out slicing, cutting for heads? Like, Jesus, really? But see, the other thing, and we talked about this too, Peter, we have to talk about the fact that Peter also sold out Jesus. That when he was captured, Peter got just close enough to watching him be abused and watching him endure and go through what he went through, watching the unjustness of it all. That Peter got just close enough that it's recorded in Mark 14. Again, Peter denied knowing Jesus. After a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you're one of the followers of Jesus. Certainly you're with this guy, for you're a Galilean." But Peter began to invoke a curse on himself and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And Peter broke down and wept. Peter recognized in one of the moments where Jesus needed him the most, Peter failed. And if we could just be honest with each other right now, how many times over these past couple weeks have you felt like you failed? Maybe you're tuning in today feeling like you're wasting this time, like you're missing it, you're doing more damage than good, that you feel like a failure. You can't measure up. You can't meet expectations. Nothing's going the way you wanted to. You keep reacting and swinging for people's heads. You keep just unloading on folks. You keep having these outbursts. None of it is what you intend. None of it's what you wanted. None of it's what you wished you could do. But here you sit after another week gone by, and you're just thinking, man, why am I even here? Or if you want to get really, really personal, how could God ever use somebody like me? Or worse, how could God ever love somebody like me? And I wonder if that's part of what Jesus was getting at. It was Peter, the rock. It was Peter that the gates of hell won't be able to stop what Jesus was going to do through Peter. It was Peter that sank, that scolded, that sliced an ear, that sold out Jesus. But it wasn't just those things. Those are just the reflections of what was going on in Peter's heart. And maybe that's why Jesus was talking to Peter. Because Jesus knew that Peter lacked faith. Have you had those moments where the doubts seem bigger than the certainties? That the questions are larger than what's true? Maybe Jesus was talking to Peter because he acted in fear. Have you had those moments? Maybe why Jesus was talking to Peter is not because of what he did when he sliced off the guy's ear, but it's because he knew Peter would react out of emotion and that rarely goes well. And maybe if we look back over our couple of weeks, maybe we didn't sell out Jesus in the moment, but how many of us have felt like a failure over this period of time? How many of us are filled now more with more questions, wanting almost to hide from God or to be ashamed to even tune into a worship service because it's been that kind of week or things went that poorly or things were that difficult? And how could we ever be a part of a movement of Jesus that the gates of hell won't prevail on when this is more characteristic of our life than anything that would seem godly? But here's what I need everybody to know. That if at any point this past week, month, year, or course of your life that you have felt this way, I want you to know you're in good company. Because Peter did too. And here's the big idea I need you to grab a hold of if this is you. Here's what I want you to cling to and tell yourself in your heart, in your mind, and with all your strength that you hold on to. And this isn't my original thought, but this is the big idea I want everybody to hear today, that if ever this has been you, then maybe what Jesus was trying to portray through Peter is that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. That maybe God's not looking for perfect people. Maybe God's not looking for those of us that have all the answers, that are never afraid, that are never uncertain, that never question what the next step's gonna be, that never have moments where we doubt or we question things or we question God. Maybe God's not looking for the person that never has a really bad moment on their family, on their spouse or their kids, their employees or their coworkers. Maybe God's not looking for the person that never feels deeply isolated or deeply alone. Maybe God is simply looking for imperfect people to trust that he's going to equip them as he sees fit. That's a powerful thought. Can I just be real with you for just a second and give you a little of my perspective? A lot of times as a pastor, it's thought, but well, I'm on a stage, like I'm preaching this stuff, my life must be put together. We should get my journey group or my life group or my wife up here. Actually, we shouldn't. That'd probably hurt my feelings. But can I be real with you for just a moment? Sometimes, and this is just me speaking, sometimes, honest truth, getting closer to God is harder than it seems. You know that in my faith journey, there's definitely some high moments, some really good moments where I feel really close to them. But you know, there's also days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months that I just question, am I doing this right? Like, does God see me? Because I'm not a perfect person. Can I be honest that there's sometimes that I feel like I don't know what I'm doing? You know that by leading in faith, it means we lead by taking a step when we can't always see where the ground's gonna show up to land on? There are moments as a pastor that I'm unsure of what I'm doing and unsure of myself. And honestly, on that thought, there are moments that people in this church, that friends and my journey group and my life group, there are times that people seem to believe in me more than I believe in myself. On that note, I'm in a really good place, so don't panic. But would you take an opportunity and reach out to Bridgepoint staff and encourage them to let them know that you see them in the job that they're doing? This can be tough. But just on this note, that not because I'm equipped and have it together that God chose me, but can I be honest? Sometimes the criticism hurts. Sometimes getting criticized for what we do is difficult because in a mission where we want to help people, all people, certainly to get closer to God, but in helping people. Do you know sometimes when we get criticized for how we do that, that stings because I know that I don't always get it right. I know that we're gonna sometimes fail people. I know that we're sometimes gonna miss the mark. Why do I know that? Because I know that I wasn't the equipped person that God said, because you have it together, I want you to pastor. But instead, it was my willingness that by faith, and it can be yours too, to just say, God, would you do something in me that I can't do on my own? And as I process that thought, let me take the pressure off. Because remember Jesus' conversation with Peter? I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This mission is not dependent upon me. It's not dependent upon you, and it was not dependent upon Peter. Instead, the invitation from God is, would you submit yourself by faith? And on some days, it's that last little ounce, that hanging by a thread, that mustard seed moment that you just say, God, I don't know how you could use me or do something through me, but I'm going to trust that I'm a rock in the process and that you, Jesus, are building the church, not me. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can I remind you guys something huge? The resurrection of Jesus, that mind-blown moment, it's the event that reminds me, and I hope that it reminds you, the imperfect person's invitation into the story of a perfect Savior. Jesus didn't expect you to be perfect. Jesus doesn't expect me to have it all together and have all the answers. Jesus is just inviting us into the story of the perfect Savior. So for those of you that are wherever you're tuning in from, here's what I want you to know. God knows about the shouting match you had this past week. Knows about how you treated your kids and how you treated your spouse. God knows about the depths of isolation that you felt or that you fought. God knows the thoughts of hopelessness that you wrestled with. God knows the escapes that you turned to that weren't him, to cover it up, to mask reality, or just to get away from it. God sees it and God knows it, and you know God's response to it. Love. That by his goodness and simply out of his grace, you and I as imperfect people can grab a hold of the fact that we don't have to be perfect, and instead that in our imperfection, God loved us. That he took our sin, he took our lack of faith, he took our fear, he took our emotional reactions, and he took our failures, and he took them all the way to the cross, and he took them all the way to the tomb. And then he rose again, forever leaving sin and death dead. I hope today that your mind is blown, because that empty tomb means the pressure's off of us and that we just grab a hold of Jesus. So Bridgepoint, those of you that are followers of Jesus and those of you that aren't, there's going to be a lot of voices coming at you over the next few days, weeks, and months that tell you you're not good enough, you don't measure up, you'll never be loved, you'll never be of value. And today, I want your mind to be blown. Why? Because Jesus' tomb is empty. Why does that matter? It's proof of grace. It's proof of second chances. It's proof of love. It's proof that imperfect people can be a part of the story of a very perfect Savior. Pray with me. God, all across broadcast right now are a bunch of people that don't have all the right answers and that haven't gotten everything right. Got a bunch of people like me that have had moments where we reacted, moments where we lacked faith, moments where out of fear we tried to control something, and moments where we're damaging everything. And if we're honest, we've had moments where we feel like total failure. God, I hope today what refreshes all of us, I hope today what's moving through the chat, I hope today what's moving through our hearts is the idea that Jesus speaks more for us than we can for ourselves. That we're not disqualified, we're not cast aside, we're not hopeless. If we keep the pattern of trying to do it by ourselves, that's hopeless. But today, by faith, to grab a hold of grace, to grab a hold of love, to hold on to the truth of an empty tomb, we find hope for tomorrow. So Jesus, help us to sense your nearness and presence today. In Jesus' name we pray.